Hello, this is Climate and Community, Maine Voices for Action, with the Climate to Thrive. This five-minute weekly program will illuminate stories of climate courage, solutions, and resilience-building action, with a focus on communities leading the way right here in coastal Maine.
I'm your host, Wilson Hames. This week on Climate and Community, I met with science teacher from Bath Middle School, Micah Depper, who recently started a working group made up of students, teachers, staff, and community members to reduce emissions, increase building efficiency, and ensure high-level climate education in his school district, RSU1.
Hi, I'm Micah Depper. I'm a science teacher at Bath Middle School. I've been interested in climate work since I heard about climate change probably in middle school. It really left an impression on me in college. I went down a few different paths. For a minute, I thought I wanted to be an environmental lawyer. I loved science, but I wasn't really sure if research was the way I wanted to engage with the climate crisis. And then I started tutoring, and I realized I loved working with kids, and that's what I wanted to do with my career.
I asked Micah what initially compelled him to pursue climate action through his role as a science teacher.
As far as stepping into more formal climate work, it all started because I've been working for the last couple of years on a master's in educational leadership. And it got me thinking, what's going on in the intersection between education and climate policy? So I did a research review and found that even though K-12 schools are one of the largest energy consumers and emissions producers in the public sector in the United States, with an absolutely massive carbon footprint, only about 4% of school districts have policy that requires the district to teach about climate change or to reduce the carbon footprint or waste footprint of the district, specifically in regards to the climate. So I found that incredibly disturbing and shocking, considering that we have this very finite window in order to reach the goals that we need to avert the most disastrous consequences of climate change. And that led to the year-long process of drafting, working with different groups across my district to get feedback and input in order to pass a climate response policy in our district.
Now, the initiative is running in the form of a working group that is assembled to take on research and planning to propel the district toward ambitious emissions and waste reduction goals and climate education standards.
Once we passed the policy in June of 2024, that established a climate resilience working group for our district, and I began recruiting members. It's composed of our superintendent, our director of facilities, building administrator, a school board member, 5 teachers, 6 students who are from the high school and the middle school level, and then a citizen representative. We tried to get one from every town of the RSU. Our resolution structures us around 2 goals. The first one is to reduce emissions and waste throughout the operations of the district, and that includes building efficiency, energy sourcing, food sourcing, transportation, and so forth. And so I don't know that we'll be able to tackle all of those issues, but they're all issues that we're considering. And with the resources that we have, we're going to go after the things that are the highest value targets that we have the biggest opportunity to move on. And the second goal is to ensure that all of the students who graduate from our district have had the chance to become climate literate and to engage in climate solutions.
Micah hopes that this work will result in opportunities for all students, programs, and plans in the district to engage in meaningful change.
How can we guarantee that no matter what paths a student takes through our district, what teachers they have, that they have engaged with climate literacy, and that it's not just being taught in a gloom and doom, fatalistic kind of way, but that students have had the chance to do project-based work to feel like they're making a difference on these issues. So we've got about 2 years to deliver a plan to our school board for acceptance, and that would then inform our facilities plan, our energy sourcing plan, our nutrition program, to make sure that all the recommendations of our working group become part of how things are just done at RSU1.
Throughout our conversation, Micah instilled in me the incredible opportunity schools have to drive climate action throughout the country. His dream expands far beyond his local school district.
My dream is, because the clock is running down here, is to figure out, are there other people in the state who are doing this in schools? And then how do we take this show on the road? Because I know there are people who care about this all over.
Next week, tune in to hear more from Micah about how local policy in school districts has the potential to drive significant climate action in the United States, and how student contribution to this effort is compelling adult community members to act with urgency.
This has been Climate and Community with the Climate to Thrive, Thursdays at 8:30 a.m. Thanks for listening.